Welcome to Power Play on the day a federal government rescue mission was due to save the Trans Mountain Pipeline. We'll discuss what was done or what was not done with our MPs and get reaction from the pipeline opposition leader in BC. Also coming up on today's show, the Facebook founder delivered his first of several mea culpas to U.S. legislators today over the use of personal data for political purposes. We will ask a privacy expert if Facebook's protection moves deserves a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And it's starting to look a lot like an imminent missile launch against Syria, but the U.S. president was firing off rockets internally as well. Our Washington bureau chief brings us up to date and prepare to learn about surf clams, an industry which has Newfoundland mighty steamed at the federal government. Premier Dwight Ball joins us after his meeting with the prime minister, where we assume he didn't clam up. But first, an emergency cabinet meeting on the federal government's plan to punch a new pipeline hole in the Rockies for Alberta oil sands exports ended with very little progress being made. Here is the natural resources minister.
Are you prepared to support an Alberta bid to either invest in the project or even, as Rachel Notley suggested today, take it over completely?
We've been saying for the last 2 days we're prepared to look at many options, that has not changed. We believe that there are many options that will be of interest for the government of Canada. We'll examine them all thoroughly.
So let's get the MP's response to what some are equating as a political crisis in the making. We'll bring in the MPs from each of the three major parties to discuss the fallout. Marco Mendicino is a Liberal parliamentary secretary from Toronto. I think we have Michelle Rempel. She's a Conservative MP from Calgary. And Nathan Collins, an NDP MP from Northern BC, he joins us via FaceTime. Welcome to you all. Nathan, I'll go to you first. How much pressure do you think BC is going to be under from the federal cabinet to try and cave on this pipeline and let it connect to Burnaby?
Well, I think the federal government is applying what pressure it can. I've spoken to various federal Liberal ministers who seem increasingly, I want to be fair about this, Don, but increasingly desperate that they're sounding, the Prime Minister himself is sounding angrier and angrier about it. But it's what's strange to me is this is a problem of their own making, that when Justin Trudeau campaigned for the job of Prime Minister, he explicitly promised that this pipeline in particular would go through a different review process than the one designed by Mr. Harper. He didn't do that. He tacked on some little thing at the end, which is not going to satisfy people in BC nor the courts. So it seems to be a crisis of their own manufacture. In BC, the premier seems both resolute and quite calm in his defense of what he was elected to do, which was to protect the BC coast. And all of this revolves around a raw bitumen export project, which, as you know, Don, presents less economic opportunities than value-added projects and also poses higher environmental risks because the cleanup is virtually impossible when dealing with things like diluted bitumen.
Marco, how can you not make a decision? They have a cabinet meeting. What are they going to decide on this one? What kind of problems does Justin Trudeau have to deal with to get this pipeline through?
Well, let me go back to your original question, Don, because I do think it's important. First, this pipeline is going to be built as the Prime Minister has said. It's a pipeline that we believe is in the national interest of all Canadians. It's going to create jobs. And while I have a respect for Nathan, who I know works very hard for his community in British Columbia, I disagree with his characterization around the 157 conditions which were attached to the federal government's approval of this pipeline, which are designed to protect the environment. And that is something that I think Canadians don't see in either of the opposition parties. They see extremes, and we are taking a very principled basis in ensuring that this pipeline gets built, but that it does so in a sustainable way. And we are calling on the BC NDP government to end its block of this particular pipeline. We're at a critical juncture right now. Trade is very important. Getting our natural resources to market is very important. Pipeline will do that.
Let's
okay, here you're trying to talk there, Nathan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so piece by piece, this is exactly what Stephen Harper said when they tried to ram through the Northern Gateway pipeline, that there were these magical conditions that were going to calm everybody down and we shouldn't worry, while failing to answer basic questions. Justin Trudeau used Stephen Harper's exact environmental assessment process to approve the Kinder Morgan project. The question that we have for the panicking federal Liberals is that John Horgan has said, let's go to the Supreme Court with you, the federal government and Alberta, and clarify the question around jurisdiction. Because there was a court case, as you'll remember, Don, that was brought by First Nations communities about the Northern Gateway Pipeline when BC tried to abdicate its role in doing proper environmental assessment and consultations.
Okay.
The BC government lost in that case. What's different now is that we have a BC government who's willing to stand up for the coast.
Michelle Rempel, I gather we're hooked in with you now. I want to just bring you up to speed. Absolutely nothing was announced out of this federal cabinet meeting today other than more options or options are still on the table. Your reaction to that and what you realistically think this government should be doing right now?
Well, that's Trudeau speak for no options are on the table. I was able to listen to some of Nathan's comments. And you know what? You've got to give credit to the NDP because at least you know where they stand. What Justin Trudeau is trying to do here is, as he did with Energy East, is have these projects disappear because they've created such an uncertain environment for investment that they just leave. The reality is that under the Trudeau government, you've seen four pipelines that were prepared to be invested in. Like, this is well, you know, this is $20-plus billion of investment that are gone. And the other thing is that there are options that the government could have taken. This is why we put forward a motion in the House for them to table a plan by the middle of February. We're now in April, and this is what the government could be doing. This is what Jim Carr should have said. We're expediting the BC court case through the Supreme Court of Canada so that it doesn't wind its way through the government court system for years. Let's create some certainty. We're going to respect the rule of law and enforce the rule of law when it comes to the protesting that's happening. We're going to invoke Section 9210C of the Constitution, which, while the pipeline is in federal jurisdiction right now, it would eliminate any remaining provincial objections around, let's say, road permitting, et cetera. And they could also call a spade a spade. The carbon tax did not create social license to build this pipeline. It's going to take political will. And he also could have come out finally and said, Bill C-69, this bill that's supposed to bring social license around environmental regulations, the industry association came out flat out and said the following, there will be no more pipelines built in Canada. At least with the NDP, they're honest. They don't want this developed. What Justin Trudeau is doing is so morally bankrupt. It's actually, I think it actually has national confederation implications, and it's disgusting.
Interesting. Okay. Michelle's got some pretty strong words there, Marco. I wouldn't mind getting some thoughts from you on the point she makes about trying to invoke some sort of constitutional moves to get all these provincial obstacles off the table. Why don't you do something along those lines? I know someone's even calling for the Emergencies Act to be implemented, which is sort of the replacement for the War Measures Act. That may be a little excessive at this point in time, but what do you realistically think the government has amongst those options that it's that we're talking about in that brief news conference?
Well, I do think it's inflammatory language that we hear from some conservatives, and I don't think it's particularly helpful. I think now is the time for calm heads and for cool heads to prevail. And I think you've seen that kind of composure in the Prime Minister. I take him very much, you know, true to his word, that we're going to get this built. There's a real commitment on the part of this government to build the Trans Mountain Pipeline and to do so in a way that is sustainable and protective of the environment. Going out and making highly incendiary remarks in public does not promote a healthy confederation. And I'm calling on my conservative colleagues to be a little bit more reasonable.
No, what's more reasonable? This project went through years of environmental regulatory review. It was passed by the government. It's going to create so much economic wealth. And you know what? No, I'm not going to be polite while you sit here and jerk my province around and the entire country. It's beyond the point of you being able to come out and say there are no options on the table. Are you going to build it or are you not going to build it? And back it up with actions rather than Jim Carr running away from reporters.
Michelle, I want to bring... I want to get Nathan into this because, Nathan, you hear the emotion in Michelle's voice, and there's a lot of that in Alberta. Does BC know what it's doing to Alberta by obstructing this pipeline, which is really a lifeblood for that province?
Well, as somebody married to an Albertan with family all over Alberta, the understanding of the pride and that sense of the fierce pride of being Canadians and good Canadians in Alberta is something that you could run into the conversation all over the place, all the time. What I would suggest to Michelle is that that same sense of passion and dedication to home and love of home is the same dedication and passion that many British Columbians feel, that when they asked the Prime Minister when he was just a candidate, will you put the Kinder Morgan pipeline project under a better review than the one Mr. Harper used? Justin Trudeau's words were clear on tape and repeated. Yes, I will. So Michelle was in the government that, in Stephen Harper's government, that had the last review process that many British Columbians and other Canadians didn't feel comfortable with. We can argue about whether it was good enough or not, but many of us didn't feel it was. So too said Justin Trudeau. He then didn't do it. He then approved it under Stephen Harper's regime and then said, but I'm Justin Trudeau. So using the same process on the same pipeline that Harper used, but now it's me, doesn't build confidence. And last thing I'd say, Don, is that when the Prime Minister gets up time and time again, almost in a bullying, arrogant fashion, and says, this pipeline will get built, I got to tell you, much like Albertans would reject anybody trying to force a decision on them, British Columbians have a fierce sense of pride. And I watched the same movie play out before. I watched the same movie play out before when Northern Gateway was proposed through Northern BC. And we were called enemies of the state for asking questions about risk and spill safety.
Last word to you, Michelle.
I have to get in on this, Nathan. And Nathan, you know I have a lot of respect for you. But this isn't about forcing decisions among provinces. It's about a national decision. I actually, you know, you're right. You and I could have a discussion around the process. We're not talking about a Venezuelan process or a Saudi Arabian process where we get a lot of our oil from. Like, I think at this point, this is really about the Prime Minister having the courage to say whether or not he wants these.
But-